Our text for this Palm Sunday is from John. These words, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's on Palm Sunday that Jesus of Nazareth, was finally identified correctly. That is, as Jesus rode into Jerusalem humbly on a donkey on Palm Sunday, what was said about him at that point was exactly right. It was true. Jesus was entering Jerusalem in the name of the Lord. He was the King of Israel. "Who do people say that I am?" You remember Jesus asking his disciples that question. And you remember their response: John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Others, one of the prophets. It was a woman at the well that raised the question of the identity of Jesus to her village after her conversation with him. Could he be the Christ? Could he be the Christ? That's what she asked. And later on in that same gospel, the Gospel of John, the people were logically deducing, weren't they, who Jesus was. "Will the Christ do more signs than he has done?" is what they asked. So the question of the true identity of Jesus had been swirling about Judea for 3 years, with different ideas being thrown about. But there on Palm Sunday in Jerusalem, everything was clear. Everything was right. Jesus of Nazareth was riding into Jerusalem in the name of the Lord. And he was, Jesus was, truly the King of Israel. Now, the Lord in whose name Jesus was coming into Jerusalem was none other than the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. The Lord in whose name Jesus was entering Jerusalem was the God who met Moses in the burning bush and then later spoke with Moses on Mount Sinai and then in the tent of meeting. That Jesus was truly the King of Israel was based upon the fact that the family of the Herods was not. The high priest was not. The Roman governor Pilate was not. In fact, for the 500 years prior to that day, there had been no king of Israel. 500 years. King Zedekiah, taken off in chains to Babylon, had been the last king of Israel. But here was Jesus being proclaimed just that, the first king of Israel for over 500 years, the king promised to David who would rule over his house forever. Now, the crowd undoubtedly did not know that Jesus actually was a descendant of David in the line of Judah, so it was the Holy Spirit moving them to so cry out. In a moment of such momentousness that if the people did not do so, if the people did not welcome Jesus into Jerusalem as the one who came in the name of the Lord and the one who was the King of Israel, the very stones would have cried out the same thing. That's what Jesus said, Gospel of Luke. There in Jerusalem, the great King David had reigned. There in Jerusalem, the son of David, Solomon, had built the temple in which the glory of the Lord inhabited, just as it had the tabernacle in the wilderness. And it is there to Jerusalem that the Lord, the King, Jesus, had come. But it's easy to dismiss all of this, isn't it? It's easy to dismiss this momentous occasion at which rocks and stones would have spoken had not the people themselves proclaimed who Jesus really was. For Jesus, hailed as coming in the name of the Lord as the King of Israel, would be hanging from a cross 5 days later. Same crowds having cried convincingly to the Roman governor Pilate to crucify him. So also the chief priests with the scribes would mock Jesus, we read in the Gospels, hanging on the cross, saying to one another, listen to what they said. "He saved others, he can't save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down from the cross that we may see and believe." Let's set that aside. Concentrate on the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. For everything said about Jesus on that occasion was true. So what? What do we do with it? What do we do with it? Well, some would say that the triumphant entry of Christ into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday was just a precursor of the future day upon which Christ will return. So these people, Christ will return finally to set up his kingdom and reign in Jerusalem for at least 1,000 years. The Jews yet today, for example, expect that to occur. No, they don't expect Jesus to be the one to do so, Jesus of Nazareth, but they do expect the Jews of today, they do await a Messiah to appear, a Christ to establish or to reestablish the nation of Israel to its former glory under King David. Star of David on the flag of the nation of Israel today reflects that messianic hope, that idea, that future kingdom. Again, there are some Christian groups who teach similarly. But they say it's actually going to be Jesus of Nazareth, the one who rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, who will reappear and establish his kingdom there, much like the disciples of Jesus awaited, and much like the Jewish leaders of the time feared. I mean, those leaders feared that Jesus was actually the Messiah, the King of Israel, the one awaited, and they were not about to let go of the reins of power they held. But did you hear what we heard this morning? Did you listen? What we heard from Philippians. Talks there in Philippians, not about a future kingdom, not a future kingdom of Israel, but about a kingdom in the here and the now. It says there that God has already highly exalted Jesus and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Did you catch that? Every knee should bow in heaven. Every knee should bow on earth. Every knee should bow in hell. Every tongue already confess that Jesus is Lord. Now, what does that mean, that Jesus is Lord? It means that now Jesus, both as God and man, both as divine and human, is already reigning as king over all creation, having been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Why? Because in allowing himself to be crucified according to the will of the Father, the sins of mankind were atoned for. The blood was shed that would cover the sins of all mankind. The death was offered for all death. And then God raised Jesus from the dead, as Paul proclaimed to the Athenians. And what did that demonstrate, that God raised him from the dead? It demonstrated that the offering, the sacrifice for sin, had been accepted. And the one who so made it, Jesus, was given all authority in heaven and earth over sin and over death. All those even now who confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior from sin are already in his kingdom and serve him through faith and righteousness and innocence and blessedness. In other words, when the Holy Spirit worked faith in our hearts, we became citizens of the kingdom of the true Israel. Our king being Jesus, who is Lord over sin, Lord over death, Lord over the devil, Lord of heaven, Lord of earth, and Lord of hell. That is, Lord over all that exists. Christ is king now as Lord. Now, he's not a figurehead king like that of some of the European countries nowadays, a figurehead king who has no real authority over anything really, but Christ is a real king, a real Lord, the real king and Lord over all that exists, both seen and unseen. Sad, troubling, downright wrong, then, is when faced with what we're facing today, with a worldwide pandemic, that we somehow fear that what's happening is disconnected from the kingdom of our King Jesus. That being a citizen of his kingdom, having been bought with his holy precious blood and innocent suffering death, that what is happening is beyond our Lord and Savior's authority and power. Let's repent of our doubt. Repent of our vapid ideas of some sort of messianic kingdom in the future. like the kingdoms of today. For as those who believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're citizens of that kingdom right now. So we'll be cared for and watched over and looked after by our King, by Jesus. How does he do that? How does Jesus care for us? One little thing Martin Luther wrote. One little thing Jesus has with which to rule, and that applies only in the case of a few people, Christians. It's his testimony to the truth, the Holy Gospel. Through this, the Holy Gospel, he pours the Holy Spirit into the hearts of men, he forgives sin, and bestows the hope of eternal life. But all these things remain in faith and in the Word, and they're not seen. They're not handled. They exist in hope. So Luther, this morning you've heard this gospel of the Lord, this gospel of your King, my King, Jesus. So as we look forward to our observation of Holy Week, even in this time of pandemic, we can continue to live as citizens of the kingdom of Jesus. That is, we can live in faith in Jesus. And so we live in hope. Amen. Now may the peace, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.